Let's just commend ourselves to the Lord before our brother comes up. Our Father in God, we thank you for gathering us with the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. We thank you for the significance of his presence in the midst of his people. And we pray that as we are together, that we will grow in our appreciation for the importance of that in how we live. Bless our time together. Bless our speaker as he speaks, that he might do so in the power of the Spirit. And so, by the Spirit, speak to our hearts, that we might be lifted up for the glory of God. Amen. And we're happy, as we said this morning, to have with us our brother Hartmut Ising from Potsdam, Germany, to share with us from the Word.
Good morning to all of you. I don't know whether I brought you the greetings from our assembly in Potsdam, Germany, so I'll do it now. Today we will concentrate on one verse in Luke 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And we will mainly concentrate on this question: what does it mean to deny myself? The Lord Jesus spoke these words to his disciples after he at first, the first time, announced his suffering and before his transfiguration. It is in a very important part of his ministry and is the last third, roughly, in the last year. And this word shows us the condition for true discipleship. And I hope we all want to be true disciples. The condition for true discipleship starts with denying yourself. What does it mean? In baptism, we all confessed or promised that our old self or our ego is dead with Christ. I hope you did so in baptism. So, now my question: do you have sometimes problems with your ego? I have. What about you? And what can we do? In Romans chapter 6 and 7, Paul deals with three problems. Now, it would be good to open the Bible to see. The first problem, which starts right in the beginning of chapter 6, the first problem is sin. And in these two chapters, sin is mentioned 31 times. And it starts right with the beginning of chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin? And it goes on right till the end of chapter 7. The last verse: but with the flesh, the law, I serve with the flesh, the law of sin. So sin goes through these two chapters. This is the first problem Paul deals in these two chapters. The second problem is the law. It starts in 6:17 and goes on till 7:25, to the end of the seventh chapter. And law is mentioned 25 times. So just by counting, you can find that this is a very important thing, and it is also mentioned in the commentaries we use. So the third problem I never found in a commentary, but I found in Darby's translation. It is not so easy to see. And this third problem is the ego. And the ego starts the first time in chapter 7, verse 9, and goes on till chapter 20, till verse 25. And ego is mentioned 8 times. And if you have a Darby translation, you will find 7 times a big eye with 2 stars. This is indicating then that in the Greek, I am, or I want, or I do, is strengthened by an additional ego. But the 8th time, the ego is not so easy, it is not mentioned in Darby's translation, and there Paul invented a special term, and he says, wretched ego man about himself. And we would call it not wretched ego man, but wretched egoist, probably. So, this third problem we will look at closely, and therefore at first I want to read this chapter, or this portion, Romans chapter 7 from verse 9 on, and I will pronounce ego where ego is said. Now listen. It sounds like that. For my ego was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and my ego died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. Now I read verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but my ego is carnal, sold under sin. Verse 17. Now then, it is so no more my ego that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 20. Now, if I do what my ego would not, it is no more my ego that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 24, and listen careful. O wretched egoist that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And the last verse, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, my ego, myself, serves the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So you see, this is the most concentrated teaching in the New Testament about the ego. Very important. And we will try to learn something from it. At first, in verse 9, for I, my ego, was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and my ego died. This is the first phase of life in a child. The child, after birth, is innocent. And that's not my idea, but the Lord said, let the children, the little children who were on the arms of the mothers, come to me, because of such is the kingdom of heaven. So, the little ones have no problem with ego and with sin and all this. They are heirs of heaven. Later in life, and this starts quite early, the commandment comes. The parents say, don't do this or do that. And when the commandments come, the own will of the little ones start to come also. And this causes disobedience, and this disobedience causes, as in Adam, spiritual death. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but my ego is carnal, sold under sin. So, sold under sin means my carnal ego is a slave of sin. And a slave can't do what he wants. He is a slave. So are we, slaves of sin as in the natural life before we came to Christ. Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not, for what I do, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. There is no ego in it, but this describes, after the new birth, I have a new motivation additional to the old one. And this new motivation comes through the Spirit of God. In Romans 8, 30 to 40, 14, we read, for if you live after the flesh, motivated by flesh only, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led, as are motivated by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. This verse was a principal verse that God used to show me my eternal salvation. I found the motivation of God in my life. Also, I had the motivation of sin as well in my mortal body, but I had a new motivation and I could recognize this. Now we come, this is a new birth, and now we come to verse 20. Now, Paul says, and now means after the new birth. If I do that my ego would not, it is not more my ego that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's a bit difficult to understand, but if you read and if you use some help to know what ego, where ego is mentioned in the original, you can try to follow this. After the new birth, Paul says, now, if I do that what my ego would not want to do, it is no more my ego that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. What? It's a big problem. In the new birth, I got a new ego, but the old nature is still there. Sin dwells also in me. The new birth is the beginning of the life of the new ego, but sin also lives in me. In verse 24, Paul cries, O wretched egoist that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he gives the answer. And now listen to the answer. So then, with the mind, my ego serves the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And if you really understand what this means, my ego has a disease, and this disease we know, it is called schizophrenia, but this is spiritual schizophrenia. And we all, including Paul, suffer from this terrible disease. This is a diagnosis. And the right diagnosis is the first step for the therapy. And now let us look to the therapy. When I learned this, I realized it is so important that the old nature is kept in death, and this is a struggle every day. So I start my day with a prayer that the old flesh be dead during this same day. And sometimes it happens that the old flesh wins in some part of the day. But this is our therapy, that we start with this prayer. We are not once forever free from sin. The old nature has to be kept in death every day, and this is only by the grace of God. This also Martin Luther realized, and he used a nice picture to illustrate this. He said, repentance is not once forever, but must be a daily thing, because the old Adam can swim. It is not once forever drowned in baptism, the old Adam can swim. I think you can remember this. And then if it turns to the surface and makes a problem, ask God that it goes down. You can't do it yourself. To deny the natural ego means to sacrifice my own will and ask God's will daily. My own will is very closely connected with the old Adam. And there it becomes quite difficult. So sometimes we think that we have a spiritual desire and it's nothing else but my old Adam. So let us look at Romans 12, verse 2, the second half. This sacrifice of my own will is the condition for being transformed. Paul says, be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So from our old nature, we don't understand what God's will is. And if I think what I will is God's will, it may be the old carnal nature. Therefore, we have to be in a daily process of being transformed. And this is a lifelong transformation. And what is the goal, the final goal of this transformation? We have to follow the example of the Son of Man. And he is the second man and the last Adam. To follow him, this is our theme. And before the Lord came, it was said in the Psalms and repeated in Hebrew 10 verse 7, I say, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. So this is a purpose that Christ came. And we want to follow him. So our purpose should be to do the will of God. Of course, the first step is to know the will of God, and to distinguish the will of God from my own carnal will. So this is quite difficult. You have to learn, or we all have to learn. Now the second step of our Lord, his baptism. This is not so easy thing. The sinless mediator lines up with sinners. Why did he do so? I think the first thing is that he takes the same stand as the sinners, but he is no sinner, but he comes down to the level of the sinners. And the second meaning is something which is in the meaning of the New Testament baptism. He sacrifices his human will. Also our Lord Jesus had a human will, as you will see soon. And he sacrificed his human will in the baptism. I think that we have to learn this, that the Lord did this in the baptism, and we have to follow him. The third step, the Lord's plans and decisions. When he started to preach and do miracles, we read in Mark 1 a lot of these incidences, and then in the morning all his disciples were full of joy. He is showing his power, and the kingdom of God is among us. And the Lord, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. The Son of God prayed. Why did he pray? Because he was the Son of Man as well, fully, truly. And he prayed, and he said unto them who followed him, Peter especially, come, do more miracles. People are accepting you as a king. No, he said, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. So, thank you very much. So, the Lord Jesus, after this marvelous day, with so lots of miracles, he went up before sunrise, before his disciples awoke, and prayed to understand the will of God. And then he told his disciples the next step, what to do. We should do this especially when we are successful. It's a very dangerous situation. If we are successful, the devil is very near. So let us follow the example of our Lord. Now, the fourth, our own glory. And the opposite is what Johann Sebastian Bach wrote underneath his compositions. Soli Deo Gloria, only the glory to God. This should be our purpose. When discussing with the Jews, the Lord Jesus said, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. That is our Lord. And in John 5:54, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? So seeking the own glory is a complete hindrance to the real biblical belief. Very important thing. So we should follow our Lord, not to seek our own glory, to be right in a discussion, which is very near to me. I have been often right in a discussion and far away from the will of God. So this is not the point, but seeking the glory of God. And the fifth step, and this is the most marvelous thing, and we should adore our Lord when thinking about that. Mark 14:36. And he said in prayer in Gethsemane, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what my ego will, but what thou wilt. This was the final prayer where the Lord mentioned his own human ego. He became a real human with a real human ego. And he sacrificed his human ego to the will of the Father. And we want to follow him. God's aim with us is to become conformed to the image of his Son in this life and in eternity. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And God is being perfecting us in this temporal life, that we will be conformed in the eternal life to the picture of his Son. And this is the marvelous aim. And if we see such a marvelous aim, it should be easy for us to follow this aim. Our aim is to be like him. And this, the next little word in our text is, I read the whole, he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Now what does it mean, the cross and taking up the cross daily? Cross means any kind of burden. And this burden is not to be carried alone. This is a very important thing. Our Lord had to carry the terrible burden himself. He asked his disciples to stay awake with him, and they couldn't. So they left him completely alone. And what about us? When the Lord sent out his disciples, he did not send them single, but always two. And this is a very, very important picture for us. Always two together. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 12 we read, two are better than one. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. What is the third part in this two, when the two are together? This is our Lord. Where two or three together in my name, I am in the midst of them. So if we have fellowship with one believer and a real full fellowship, the Lord is the third one, and the threefold cord will stand. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. William MacDonald wrote, burdens are failure, temptation, sufferings. Instead of criticizing from far off, we should hasten to come near to the brother who is in need or desperation and help him in any way you can think of. A very, very good thing. And if we do this, we have the promise that we will fulfill the law of Christ. What better can we do? So, what is God's purpose with his sending trials? In James 1, 2-4, we read, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but that patience hath her work perfect, that ye may be perfect. And this means conform to the image of his Son in this world. For Hebrews 5:8-9, so he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So God's plan with us here in this world, in this life, is to be perfect as the Son himself was made perfect. And this only God can do. You can't train yourself to become perfect. But let God work and say, thank you, my Father. And this is what I read already, Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And children are chastened sometimes by the Father. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And there is an if which I pronounce strongly, but this doesn't mean a conditional if. It is a different thing. And this if, the first if in this what I read is a conditional: not all humans are children of God. If we are real newborn, then the following is also valid for us. And the second if is not conditional: the suffering does not depend on our will. It is sent by God. If you suffer yourself, you bite in your thumb, it's your own fault. It's not the suffering that God sends. But it is God's will to purify us. And we can see this kind of if in 2 Thessalonians. I read only this verse to show you that the same Greek word can be translated since. Seeing, or since it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And in the same way, you can translate these verses, or can read these verses in Romans, and I read it now with since in it. And we see that it's a great comfort. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If this is true, if we are really children of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Since we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. In denying myself and taking up my cross with the help of others, I follow Christ on the way to glory. Let us do this. Thank you.